Every year, parents and government programs send thousands of teenagers to residential treatment facilities in Utah. Utah has more of these treatment facilities than any other state, and they're supposed to help young people struggling with mental illness or drug addiction. But there have been allegations of abuse for decades, and the industry has had very little oversight. State lawmakers passed new legislation last year after hearing testimony from people who have experienced these treatment centers, including celebrity Paris Hilton.
I was verbally, mentally, and physically abused on a daily basis. I was cut off from the outside world and stripped of all of my human rights.
While the state has more power to regulate these centers now, the death of a child in one of these facilities earlier this year has renewed concerns about what's going on. There's a new podcast called Sent Away that investigates these treatment centers, and we're joined now by two of the reporters, Curtis Gilbert of American Public Media and Jessica Miller of the Salt Lake Tribune. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to be here.
And we should mention that you reported this series with David Fox, a public radio reporter from KUER in Salt Lake City. Jessica, let me start with you. Give us a sense of how large this industry is and how many teenagers go through these facilities every year.
So we have federal data that shows that some 20,000 kids have been sent from other states to Utah to these treatment programs in the last 5 or 6 years. And so we really are the epicenter of this industry here. More kids are coming to Utah for treatment than to any other state, and it's really not even close. And there's about 130 programs in our state. So there's also a large number of programs, and it kind of ranges from, you know, wilderness therapy programs to small, more like suburban houses that might have 7 beds or 10 beds to kind of sprawling congregate care facilities. We kind of run the gamut here in Utah.
Utah is uniquely positioned in many ways as a hotspot for these programs with a history that goes back decades. How did it all get started and how did it grow so quickly, Jessica?
So it really started in the 70s with Brigham Young University, and there was a student there that started a program where, you know, kids who are about to flunk out of college, they would go hike in the wilderness, and the school noticed that their behavior had changed after they'd spent some time hiking through the wilderness. And so that student went on to kind of monetize this to make it a business model for teenagers. And so that's where like the nugget of this industry started. And then in the 1970s, we started to see more residential care facilities. And what we saw, there was this one facility here in Utah called Provo Canyon School, and it kind of spawned this industry. People would work at this facility, then they would go start their own, and then those people would go start their own. And so we saw this rapid growth really, really quickly, where we saw tons of facilities opening. And at that point, there was really no regulation or really no limit or no stopping, you know, how big this industry was getting so quickly.
Curtis, you investigated one treatment center in particular. It was called Integrity House in Cedar City, mm-hmm. Utah. A teenager named Kylie Jakeways died there on a trip to a nearby cave. You spoke with Megan Kreider, who was standing right next to the girl when she fell, and I want to play that sound.
Honest to God, I cannot remember what was said or what happened to make me let go of Kylie for a second, but I'm telling you, the second that I let go of her hand and I turned around, she's gone. She's gone.
So Kylie Jakeways on this outing fell 100 feet to her death, which might have been enough for state regulators to close Integrity House for good. But what happened instead, Curtis?
We actually did an interview with the state regulator who was in charge, and he told us he thought that the facility probably deserved to be shut down over that, but he wasn't sure that under Utah law, he really had the tools to make a slam dunk case, that the facility could appeal, they lawyered up. So instead, what he did was try to help the facility improve, and he'd actually thought perhaps they'd just end up shutting down on their own, but they didn't. They actually were able to meet all the requirements the state set for them, and as a result, Integrity House got a second chance, and really much of the Sent Away podcast tells the story of what Integrity House did with its second chance.
Right. In fact, Integrity House's founder ends up stepping down over allegations of sexual abuse that are later dismissed. It comes under new management, changes its name to Havenwood Academy, and then faces another abuse scandal.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that was the case that led us to this whole story in the first place. State regulators a few years back learned that Havenwood Academy, which is what Integrity House is known as today, had been placing girls in horse troughs full of water as a form of what they called therapeutic discipline. At one point, in fact, the police were called to the equine therapy facility, and they found a girl in that horse trough zip-tied at the hands and feet in water that the sheriff's deputies described as dirty. Some former residents we spoke to said that the water could have hay in it, could even have poop in it, although I also spoke to a former resident who described it as a clean water trough. But anyway, suffice it to say, it's basically a big plastic bathtub that a horse would drink out of.
And once again, handed another chance by Utah regulators back to the same pattern.
Yes, exactly.
Jessica, just recently there's been another death, in fact, at a residential treatment center in Spanish Fork, Utah.
Yeah, there was in January, there was a girl that died at a facility called Maple Lake Academy. And what state regulators say happened was that she did not get necessary medical care, that she'd been complaining about worsening symptoms and that the facility didn't do much about it, and then she died in that facility. The facility has filed an appeal to that. They're disputing that they didn't give the proper medical care, and this is just 6 miles from the home of the state senator who sponsored the reform bill this last year. And so he's kind of pointed to this case to say this is clear to him that the reform didn't go far enough. If there are still kids dying in treatment centers in Utah, then there's more reform that's needed.
Well, it's interesting because as a parent who's had experience with these programs, I think it's really important to recognize how desperate parents are to do the right thing for their kids, right? And you have therapists and professionals who are recommending these programs as sort of the last best hope to help or often save their kids. And it's not an easy decision, right, to send them away. Did you talk to parents about that?
Yes. And I'm a parent, too, and I absolutely feel for them. I mean, say you have a child who's attempted suicide. That could be one path, right, that might lead a child into residential treatment. I spoke with a mom who, you know, she really felt that she couldn't keep her daughter safe in her home. You know, it is really heart-wrenching, and it's obvious that there are lots of teenagers in this country who are in need of help, are in need of treatment. And that's really why it's so important that the government agencies that oversee these treatment programs are able to really ensure that they're safe and that they're providing good care to these kids, because they definitely need it.
Jessica, are there ways for parents to know which treatment programs are reputable and effective and which are not?
For a long time, it was really hard for parents to find that information. And that was actually a resource that our team, the Sent Away team, has tried to provide to parents and others. When we got all of these public records where we were looking through them for, you know, as part of our investigation, we decided to make those public. And so now people can go on our website, it's sltrib.com/teen-treatment, and they can look at incident reports, they can look at inspection reports for all of the programs in Utah.
But one thing that people should know about those records is that while that is probably the best resource, and really the only one where you can see what the inspections have found, a lot of times the inspections don't find an awful lot. I mean, our data reporter actually wrote a program that was able to analyze all of these inspection reports going back for 5 years. And what he found was that 98% of the time, the state of Utah was finding these programs in compliance. So it's basically like this giant stack of straight A report cards. And so I think that's a little bit unsettling, perhaps, because we know that not all of these programs, right, are without problems. We certainly, problems have come to light at a number of them. And yet, if you look at their inspection reports, it's kind of hard to see that the state was aware of that until things kind of got really out of hand.
What is your takeaway from these many months of investigative work? Jessica, you first.
though we have seen this reform, though we've seen tremendous change in the last year, I think there's obviously still gaps that need to be addressed. Here in Utah, you can open a facility if you have a building and you're contracting with, you know, a mental health professional, but you yourself don't have to have a background in this type of work. And so I think that there's still a lot of questions about how easy it is to open a place and then questions about how hard it is to shut down.
Curtis?
I spent a lot of time in this reporting interviewing former residents of these treatment centers. And to leave everyone on maybe a little more of a hopeful note, I was really impressed. So many of these young women who'd had really difficult childhoods and had gone through treatment that they said didn't help them and they actually were worse coming out of it, how they had managed to heal themselves at some point, had matured into really impressive adults. I talked to so many people who grew up and are doing great now.
That's Curtis Gilbert of American Public Media and Jessica Miller of the Salt Lake Tribune. Along with KUER's David Fox, they reported about the Utah teen treatment industry in a new podcast called Sent Away. Curtis and Jessica, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.